Where are you going? Dinner. Are there good news?
It's time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what's up or down.
Black
or white.
Legal
or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into.
The things that this show has called him, this approach is, I guess it's kind of like we're living in the Twilight Zone.
You walk into this room at your own risk, because it leads to the future. Not a future that will be, but one that might be. But like every one of the superstates that preceded it, it has one iron rule. Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
Truth isn't truth.
I hear it's fake news, but maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
I think it's fake news, okay? Now, would I do that? Absolutely.
Now, I don't know if you've been following the news, but I've been keeping my ears open. And it seems like everyone, everywhere, is super mad about everything all the time. I try to stay a little optimistic, even though I will admit, things are getting pretty sticky. Here's how I try to look at it, and this is just me. This guy being the president, it's like there's a horse loose in a hospital. It's like there's a horse loose in a hospital. I think eventually everything's gonna be okay, but I have no idea what's gonna happen next. And neither do any of you, and neither do your parents, because there's a horse loose in the hospital. It's never happened before. No one knows what the horse is gonna do next, least of all the horse. He's never been in a hospital before. He's as confused as you are. There's no experts. They try to find experts on the news. They're like, we're joined now by a man that once saw a bird in the airport. It's like, get out of here with that. We've all seen a bird in the airport. This is a horse loose in a hospital. When a horse is loose in a hospital, you gotta stay updated. So all day long, you walk around, oh, what'd the horse do? The updates, they're not always bad. Sometimes they're just odd. Be like, the horse used the elevator. I didn't know he knew how to do that. The creepiest days are when you don't hear from the horse at all. You're down in the operating room like, hey, has anyone, heard? Those are those quiet days when people are like, it looks like the horse has finally calmed down. And then 10 seconds later, the horse is like, I'm gonna run towards the baby incubators and smash him with my hooves. I got nice hooves and a long tail, I'm a horse. And it's like, oh, that's what I thought you'd say, you dumb horse. And then you go to brunch with people and they're like, there shouldn't be a horse in the hospital. And it's like, we're well past that. And then other people are like, well, if there's gonna be a horse in the hospital, I'm gonna say the N-word on TV. And it's like, those don't match up at all. And then for a second, it seemed like maybe we could survive the horse. And then 5,000 miles away, a hippo was like, I have a nuclear bomb, and I'm gonna blow up the hospital. And before we could say anything, the horse was like, if you even look at the hospital, I will stomp you to death with my hooves. I dare you to do it. I want you to do it. I want you to do it so I can stomp you with my hooves. I'm so crazy. And he's like, you think you're crazy? I'm a hippopotamus. I live in a lake of mud. I'm crazy. And all of us are like, okay, 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 okay. And then for a second, we were like, maybe the horse catcher will catch the horse. And then the horse is like, I have fired the horse catcher. He can do that? That shouldn't be allowed, no matter who the horse is. I don't remember that in Hamilton.
C is for collusion. Conspicuously covert coordination. O is for obstruction of justice, overt and really obvious obfuscation. The a vast variety of venal violations. F for falsehoods, fibs, and flat-out fabrication. E, the emoluments clause, which he's eschewing. F-E, the federal election laws, which he's been screwing. C-O-V-F-E-F-E. Have a cup of Covevi. And when you've learned the letters and what each meant, you have grounds for impeachment. Was it just a gibberish expression? Or was it a subliminal confession? C is for collusion. O is for obstruction. V for violations. F for fabrications. E, the emoluments clause. F, E, the federal election laws. And if his spelling seems clumsy, well, he's spelling with tiny thumbs. C, O, V, F, E, F, E, that's Covevi. And that's grounds for impeachment. That's plenty grounds for I-M-P-R-I-S-O-N-M-E-N-T.
I love trucks of all types. Even when I was a little boy at 4 years old, my mother would say, you love trucks. I do. I always love trucks. I still do. Nothing changes.
Yes, nothing changes. Nothing changes at all. Emotionally, I'm still four. I love trucks. You got fire. You got dump. You got Tonka.
President Trump was swept into office in part because of his supposed blue-collar appeal. For example, he promised that America's truckers would prosper under his administration. So how are they doing? Trucking is a huge American industry worth over $700 billion and employing over 7 million Americans, which is why Trump pandered so hard during an event with trucking industry executives at the White House a few years ago when he donned an I Love Trucks button and then played inside of one. Nothing says I'm a real blue-collar guy like, how do you get me down from a truck? This looks like a geriatric remake of Smokey and the Bandit. Wait for me, Bandit. Snowman's gotta pee again, 10-4. When Trump later addressed trucking CEOs and executives at the White House,
through day and night and all kinds of weather, truckers course the arteries of our nation's highways. You carry anything and everything, the food that stocks our shelves, the fuel that runs our cars, and the steel that builds our cities.
Now, as Trump waxed poetic about truck drivers and promised to put American truckers first, drivers said he hasn't delivered. In fact, the Trump administration has actually made things worse for many truckers by enacting policies that hurt them financially. Take Trump's tax law, which he tried to sell as a huge tax break specifically for truck drivers. And when he touted the plan in front of hundreds of truckers and industry executives, it was the classic Trump 1-2 punch. Transparent pandering followed by incoherent thoughts.
I want to tell you, to the truckers in this room, which is a lot of people, you're going to make more money, you're going to do better than ever before, more jobs, higher pay, and lower taxes. This huge tax cut two words, huge, and now rocket. Can you believe it? I haven't been the same. Rocket. You know what we're talking about, folks. Don't worry about it. It will rocket fuel, and it will be rocket fuel for our economy.
Rocket fuel, and it will be rocket fuel.
So there you have it. Trump said truckers would pay less and make more money than ever thanks to his tax plan. So how did that go?
Do you feel like this administration is listening to you as truckers?
No, ma'am.
No, they're not listening, not at all.
They say some of their issues affect all Americans, like the Republican-led tax bill.
How many of you, by a show of hands, saw your taxes increase this year?
They all went up, yeah.
One, two.
Yeah, this year they went
one,
up.
One, two.
Yeah.
All of you? So most of you saw your taxes increase.
The reason? Something called a per diem. In the past, truckers could deduct things like food and daily expenses from their taxable income. Now, with Trump's new tax bill, they no longer can.
I have a young family at home, and with our per diem, they took the per diem out. That made an $8,000 difference.
$8,000?
What I personally paid.
So what were you paying in taxes last year?
Nothing.
Amazing. So while the tax plan lowered rates for trucking industry executives who make millions of dollars a year, it only made things worse for those actually doing the driving. In fact, because of Trump's tax law, accountants have had to tell truck drivers that after years of being able to count on receiving tax refunds, that they, in fact, would owe thousands of dollars. As one small fleet owner put it, they got screwed. And in this case, a lot of the people getting screwed voted for Trump. And they aren't just worse off because of his tax law. Truckers are also hurting because of Trump's trade wars and tariffs, which, again, is a direct contradiction to what he had promised.
America first means putting American truckers first. When companies stay in America and move to America, it's our wonderful workers who reap the rewards, including our great truckers, who will have more products to deliver and more contracts to fill. That's the way it happens.
Well, it turns out that's not the way it happens. In fact, the exact opposite is what ended up happening.
Industry data shows the rates trucking companies charge are down nearly as much as 17%. The reason, in part, the president's trade war. With fewer goods like steel and electronics coming into U.S. ports, fewer trucks are needed to move them.
These tariffs are having real-life consequences on states that rely on, for instance, trucking. These states, many of them voted for President Trump. Some of America's biggest trucking companies are blaming the U.S.-China trade war, along with new tariffs, for hurting their bottom line.
That's right. Because of Trump's trade war, trucks have less to haul. But Trump would probably say, if you think about it, that means they can drive smaller trucks, and then it'll be easier to get down from them. Because they are very high in the air. So Trump's tax law and his trade wars have had a negative impact on truckers. In fact, one of the few policies Trump enacted that trucking industry lobbyists actually pushed for is one that arguably puts everyone else on the road in danger.
The Transportation Department is moving to relax federal regulations on the number of hours that truckers can be behind the wheel.
Highway safety advocates say the contemplated changes would weaken the regulations, leading to driver fatigue, making roads more dangerous.
They say truckers will put in even longer days at a time when they say driver fatigue is a serious problem.
For someone who loves trucks so much, Trump doesn't seem to care much about the condition of the person behind the wheel.
Where has the Democratic Party gone? Where have they gone where they're defending these two people over the state of Israel? And I think any Jewish people that vote for a Democrat
I think it shows either a total lack of knowledge or great disloyalty.
Many leading Jewish organizations saying today the president used a historically harmful anti-Semitic trope while connecting Jewish Americans to two frequent targets of his, Democratic Congresswomen Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar.
Donald Trump assigning some blame to Jewish Americans for voting Democrats into office. And in so doing, says the New York Times, quote, his language was reminiscent of the anti-Semitic smear that Jews have a dual loyalty and are more devoted to Israel than they are to their own countries. Trump initially tried to beat back accusations of anti-Semitism by tweeting a quote, labeling him the King of Israel, insisting, quote, they love him like he is the second coming of God.
Who is Trump to the Republican elected officials you're referring to? He is their Messiah.
But astonishingly, that didn't seem to do much to convince people. The president's loyalists also tried to do damage control, like the Republican Jewish Coalition, insisting, no, Trump was talking about disloyalty to oneself. And so, with the chance today to clean it all up this afternoon, Donald Trump did exactly what you would expect. He made this giant mess all the messier.
I think that if you vote for a Democrat, you're very, very disloyal to Israel and to the Jewish people.
If Jews vote for Democrats, are they being disloyal to Israel? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, I'd say so, yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that anti-Semitic?
No. It's only in your head. It's only anti-Semitic in your head.
The idea that we're talking about the President of the United States using an anti-Semitic trope sitting in the Oval Office is absolutely mind-boggling. Jews aren't a political football. We shouldn't be used as if we were a tool in a partisan debate. We're not a monolith. And the loyalty we have as Americans is no different than the loyalty of any other American. And frankly, I'm just sick and tired of having to deal with this kind of bigotry.
We are 6 weeks away from the anniversary of the worst terrorist attack against Jews on American soil. 11 holy Jews were murdered in Pittsburgh while at prayer. 6 weeks from today to the day 1 year ago. And the murderer was quoting things that President Trump had said, anti-Semitic canards that the President of the United States had spread. And now we see, almost to the day, the anniversary, the president using a dual loyalty trope. Jews throughout our history, in the Middle East, in the Soviet Union, in Nazi Germany, in Christian Europe, have been accused of being more loyal to each other and more loyal to Israel than to the nation where they live. This has led to our marginalization, to our torture, to our murder, and to our genocide. And to hear these words coming out of the president's mouth, I wish I could tell you, I wish I could describe how horrifying that is to my community.
The president seems to think that if you say that a Jewish person is being disloyal to his country by voting for a Democrat, that there is no, even the faintest whiff of anti-Semitism to that. It's only in your head if you think that. Please, do you agree?
Okay, look, there's a long tradition of this. Obviously, you go back to the Dreyfus Affair, the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, the canard that Jews stabbed Germany in the back during World War II. This is something that anti-Semites have done for hundreds, thousands of years.
Yes.
I don't know whether Donald Trump is anti-Semitic. I don't know what he has in his heart.
There's no doubt this is an anti-Semitic trope, though.
But it is a trope,
yes.
And he must know what the consequences of his words are.
Yesterday and today was not the first time that Donald Trump has employed anti-Semitic tropes. As far back as 2015, during the campaign, we were asking some of these same questions following a speech that he gave at a Republican Jewish Coalition presidential forum.
I'm in a different position than the other candidates because I'm the one candidate, I don't want any of your money. I want your support, but I don't want your money. You want to renegotiate deals? Some of us renegotiate deals. I would say about 99.9. Is there anybody that doesn't renegotiate deals in this room? This room negotiates. I want to renegotiate this room, perhaps more than any room I've ever spoken to. Maybe more.
The Jewish people as money changers. There you go, Donald Trump. He faced accusations a little while later of anti-Semitism the following year when he tweeted a photo of Hillary Clinton superimposed over a pile of cash alongside what looked a lot like the Star of David with the phrase, quote, the most corrupt candidate ever. Trump later insisted that that was a sheriff's star or, quote, a plain star. Then there was Donald Trump's final campaign ad of 2016 with a dark warning about, quote, global special interests who partner with, quote, people who don't have your good in mind over pictures of then Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen and billionaire George Soros, both notably Jewish people. Trump would later openly wonder whether Soros was, quote, funding the so-called migrant caravan coming north to the United States. And then finally, of course, who can forget Charlottesville, with good people on both sides, according to the president, even though one of those sides repeatedly made their mantra,
Jews will not replace us! Jews will not replace us!
This fascist group thing, evil men with racist views, spreading all across the land. Don't just sit there on your ass and look that funky chain dance. Brothers, sisters, shoot your best. We don't need this fascist group thing.
Brothers, sisters, we don't need that fascist group thing. Brothers.
History will repeat itself. Crisis point, we're near the hour. Counterforce will do no good. Hard to us, I feel your power. Hitler proves that funky stuff. It's not for you and me, girl.
No, 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 no.
Europe's own happy land.
No, 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 no.
They've had their fascist groove thing.
Brothers.
Democrats are out of power across that blue white ocean. Reagan's president-elect, fascist God in motion. Generals tell him what to do. Stop your good time dancing. Train their guns on me and you. Fascist gang advancing. Sisters, brothers, lend a hand. Increase our population. Grab that blue thing by the throat and throw it in the ocean. You're real tonight, you move my soul. Let's cruise on the dance floor. Come out your house and dance your dance. Shake that fascist groove thing.
Brothers, sisters, we don't need that fascist groove thing. Brothers, sisters, we don't need that fascist groove thing. Brothers, sisters, we don't need that fascist groove thing. Brothers, sisters, we don't need that fascist groove thing. Brothers, sisters, we don't need that fascist groove thing. Brothers, sisters, we don't need that fascist groove thing. Brothers, sisters, we don't need that fascist groove thing. Brothers, sisters, we don't need that fascist groove thing. Brothers, sisters, we don't need that fascist groove thing. Brothers, sisters, we don't need that fascist groove thing. Brothers, sisters, we don't need that fascist groove thing. Brothers, sisters, we don't need that fascist groove thing. Brothers, sisters, we don't need that fascist groove thing. Brothers, sisters, we don't need that fascist groove thing. Brothers, sisters, we don't need that fascist groove thing.
President Trump again talking about background checks for gun buyers. But the message has again changed. Remember, calls escalated after the domestic terror attack in El Paso and the mass murder that followed in Dayton. The president said at the time, we need strong background checks. Now, something new. First, listen to him yesterday.
People don't realize we have very strong background checks right now. You go in to buy a gun, you have to sign up. There are a lot of background checks that have been approved over the years. So I'll have to see what it is. But Congress is meeting bipartisan. A lot of people want to see something happen. But just remember this, big mental problem, and we do have a lot of background checks right now.
That's new. We already have strong background checks. So he was right. We need them, but now we already have them. That is a new wrinkle in the history of no change. Listen to what he said days after the shootings in El Paso and Dayton.
We have tremendous support for really common sense, sensible, important background check. There's been no president that feels more strongly about the Second Amendment than I do. However, we need meaningful background checks so that sick people don't get guns.
So after first saying we need strong background checks, now the president says we already have them. New to the pattern. Remember, after the slaughter of innocent children at Parkland in Florida, it was mass shooting happens, call for change erupt, President Trump says we need change, phone call from the NRA, then nothing happens. But in this case, a new step along the road to sameless.
President Trump took a field trip to Pennsylvania to bask in the glow of workers at a Shell petrochemical plant. He loves petrochemicals. He puts them on his hair every morning. So Trump was there to talk energy and, of course, immediately steered the conversation from energy to himself. And, you know, we make a lot of jokes about this president, but it's important to remember just how much he sacrificed for the good of us.
This thing is costing me a fortune being president. Somebody said, oh, he might have rented a room to a man from Saudi Arabia for $500. What about the $5 billion that I'll lose? You know, it's probably going to cost me, including upside, downside lawyers, because every day they sue me for something. These are the most litigious people. It's probably costing me from $3 to $5 billion for the privilege of being, and I couldn't care less. I don't care. You know, if you're wealthy, it doesn't matter. I just want to do a great job.
Right. All he cares about is others. He doesn't care about money. He hasn't even ordered the Treasury to print his face on it. Yeah.
Thanks for the song this week from
Roy Zimmerman, Zorn, 17, and Golden Earring,
and thanks to
Sarah Sanders, Rod Serling, Rudy Giuliani, Mulaney, Stephen Colbert, Seth Myers, Halley,
Jackson,
Heilman, Shepard, Smith,
and Jimmy
Kimmel.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.